Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on Jesus Christ, the apple tree, and me. While we were away with our sister church recently, Phil went for a walk. When he came back, Uncle Den wandered up for a chat. "I saw you come back from a bit of a walkabout just now." "Yep," said Phil. And he told Uncle Den how much he loves being outside by himself and how he finds peace and rejuvenation there. Uncle Den asked him, "So do you talk to the birds that you see? Do you stop to listen to what they might want to say to you? How about the trees? They're always talking. Do you listen to them too?" Phil told me this story and I've been thinking about it ever since. Do trees talk? Do birds chat? Uncle Den says so, and lots of other First Peoples say so too. And the Bible says so. For did you hear the Psalm 148? Every single thing in all creation is called to praise God. Sun, moon and stars, praise God. The sea and the sky, praise God. Fire and hail, snow and fog, wind, praise God. Mountains and hills, praise God. Sea creatures and river creatures, praise God. Apple trees and eucalypts, praise God. Wild animals and farm animals, praise God. Bugs and beetles and creepy crawlies, praise God. Fairy wrens and wedge-tail eagles, praise God. Powerful people and vulnerable people, men, women and children, praise God. All things in heaven and earth, praise God. And if all things can praise God, then all things can communicate. And this suggests that we can learn to listen to little birds and stately trees. But this will take some real thinking and reflecting, a conversion of our hearts and language, in fact, because language shapes how we see the world. For example, if we talk about God only as He, we blind ourselves to half the revelation of God, who is both male and female, and bigger than male and female combined. Limiting our language about God to He limits our insights into God, limits our experiences of God, and limits too our honouring of women who are made in the image of God. So that's one example of how language can limit and shape our thinking. Another example is how we speak of creation, and English has a really big limitation here. In English, the world is divided into people and things. People are he, she, ze, or they. Things are always it. When children or other people say she for a tree, we correct them because in English, a tree is an it. This language convention means that we usually think about trees and animals and most other things as objects, and we usually assume that only people are animated by the Spirit. So when we hear psalms like tonight's, as English speakers our minds boggle. We know that trees and rocks and rivers can't talk, so how can they praise God? At least that's what we think we know, and so many preachers will ignore this passage, or they'll say that it's pure poetry. Well, it is poetry, but it's also literal. But this is hard for us to understand because it's not consistent with our language. Other languages are different. For example, there's a language called Potawatomi, and it's spoken by some First Nations people in what is now the United States. In Potawatomi, the world is divided into two. But unlike English, it's not people versus everything else. Instead, everything is either animate or spirit-filled, or it's inanimate. In Potawatomi, animate things, or things filled with spirit, include people, but they also include animals, plants, rocks, mountains, water, fire, and places, and sacred medicines, sacred drums, sacred stories, and sacred songs. The things in Potawatomi which are not animate and most of the things which are made by people. So a stone is animate, but a table is not. An apple is a being. Who is that being? That being is an apple. A pencil, which is made by humans, is a thing. What's that? It's a pencil. Or a pencil, that is. In Potawatomi, things which are animate are never called an it. That would be like calling grandma it. It would be a very rude and disrespectful thing to do. Instead, anything which is animate is referred to like people. So a river might be a she, and a rock might be a he, and a kangaroo trail might show that someone likes to go this way through the grass. Someone might need feeding, and that someone might be Jubilee here, or she might be the fire, which needs a fresh log. Someone else might be laughing, and that someone else might be Tessa, or she might be the river as she gurgles over smooth stones and dances in dappled sunlight. As Christians, we believe that through Christ, God is before all things and behind all things and bigger than all things, but that God is also in all things. This sounds very abstract, but the Potawatomi way of thinking and talking brings it home. In Potawatomi, all created things are animate with spirit. In Christian thinking, God's spirit is in all creation, and there's a big overlap here. So perhaps, even though we don't speak Potawatomi or any other Indigenous language, as English speakers who are Christians, perhaps we can begin to think of rivers and rocks and wombats and corellas not as things to be used or ignored, but as beings in whom the Spirit is pleased to dwell. People who, like us, are called to praise God with every inch of their being, just as the psalmist says. When we begin to see the world in this way, then we begin to pay real attention. We begin to listen to the trees and the birds, just as Uncle Den suggests. And we begin to see that sin is about blocking communication and turning off the channel of praise. And this happens when the rivers and the skies and the seas and the land are choking, polluted, poisoned, or dead. In English capitalist thinking, the world is full of things and terribly lonely. In Potawatomi and Christian thinking, the world is full of beings who are animated by the Spirit and are wanting to communicate. If we can only catch this ancient way of knowing, then through all creation we might catch a glimpse of Christ. In all creation, we have an opportunity to serve Christ, and to all creation, we ourselves might become Christ. And this includes she-oaks and magpies and Moigil and Tower Hill. As I was pondering this ancient and wonderful way of seeing the world, I went to a friend's house to clean the ivy out of her apple tree. I was clipping and yanking and digging when suddenly I remembered an old carol, Jesus Christ, the Apple Tree. I hummed a few bars and then I looked carefully at the tree. Feeling a bit silly, I said, "Hello." Suddenly I had the sense that in serving the apple tree, I was serving Christ. I touched its trunk respectfully, and then I clipped and yanked and dug more carefully and thought and prayed some more. 5 minutes later, a man came wandering up the driveway. "You must be the gardener," he said. And I laughed and laughed, for the risen Christ was first mistaken for a gardener, and all at once I knew that even as I was serving Christ in the apple tree, the Christ in me was doing the serving. Even as I was serving Christ in the apple tree, the Christ in me was doing the serving. As my mind did somersaults trying to inhabit this new way of seeing, while new to me, two New Holland honeyeaters flew in. They sat on a branch a few inches from my face, and they took turns staring seriously straight into my eye. "Christ, is this you too?" I asked. And truly, I tell you, one of them cocked its head at me, and it winked. Amen. To learn more about Potawatomi and Indigenous ways of thinking and seeing the world, I highly recommend Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass. That's all for today, and thanks for listening, and may God bless you and speak to you through little birds and apple trees. Amen.